That's awesome. Well, as we begin today's message, I need to just confess something to begin with. I think I'm not alone in this room when I say that I am really good at starting things, but I'm not very good at finishing things. I call myself an incompleter. Anybody else an incompleter? I made that word up, by the way. I'm an incompleter because there's so many things in my house that I have great intentions, but I never fully finish what I started. In fact, I want to show you just one picture. I started taking a bunch of pictures around my house. I was like, this is going to be the whole sermon. So I just want to show you just one picture of something that I have not finished here. Okay, so there's my garage. That is supposed to be a motorcycle, by the way. When about 3 years ago, I bought this for my son. It was like a fixer-upper. It's a 1981 Honda CX500. It's supposed to have wheels and a headlight, and it does not, by the way. And it's been sitting like that for years. We had this great plan that we were going to fix that one up. I was going to get another one. We were going to go riding once he graduated from high school. Guys, he's a sophomore in college, and this thing is still sitting like this. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You guys, you're kind of the same spot that I'm at. There's all these other things around my house. I've got a fire pit in my backyard that's still not put together the way it's supposed to. My refrigerator went out yesterday morning, and so we were working on fixing it all day. Right now, it is pulled away. It's in the middle of the kitchen. That's where it's sitting, kind of half working. I haven't finished that. I got these can lights, these LED can lights that I was going to put throughout the house. I still have those in a box somewhere. I was changing all the light switches, so like half the light switches are changed out the right way. We have this shiplap in our bathroom, and that's halfway painted. I was actually going to paint the whole house, and so I bought like a paint sprayer, and that's still in the box in the garage, and haven't done that. There's all these repairs I need to do on my truck, and that's not done yet. I've got guns all around my house that I've been cleaning, and so they're just kind of laying everywhere. Yeah, true story. And then I've got this new preaching table that I'm working on welding together. It's gonna be sick. It's gonna be so awesome when I get it here in 2027. So I'm still working on all of those things. I am really good at starting things, not very good at finishing things. But here's the great news. Anybody say, so who said amen to that? Okay, thank you. Wow. Here's the good news. God's not like us. God is different than we are. We're going to find that out today. So if you have your Bibles, again, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 6 today as we continue in our passage. And I want to read this to you this morning. Here's what Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he says this. After he said, I'm so thankful for you and everything that God has done through you, he says this, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we're going to break apart this verse a little bit today. Today, we're going to start by looking at that word. We're going to start by looking at the word started, okay? So Paul is talking to this church and saying, God started something in you. And to actually understand what that is, you got to flip your page, your Bible, all the way back to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we read about this church in Philippi. What happened is that Paul was with his buddies. They travel across the ocean, and they land, and they go to Philippi. It's the first church that is started, the first converts in all of Europe started in the church of Philippi. And they usually, when they would go to a town, they would go to a synagogue, and they would preach there. That'd be the first stop. But they didn't have a synagogue in Philippi, so they went down to a river where they knew that Jewish people were usually there. So they would go first there and preach the gospel to them. So that's where I want to just take us to Acts 16 and look at how they got started. Because Paul is saying, look, I'm sure God started something in you, and he's going to complete it. And so let's look at what happened. We're going to read a little bit of Acts chapter 16. Here's what it says. It says, a God-fearing woman named Lydia, so she's an important character here. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, she was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. She was listening to the gospel that they were preaching. It says, the Lord opened her heart, which is an important phrase right here, that God opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. So she heard the good news, and she put her faith in Jesus. Did y'all know that's all it takes? Right? I think so much in our lives, we think we've got to earn our salvation. We got to earn everything else in life. There's one thing that you can never earn, and that is your salvation. It all comes from putting your faith in Jesus, turning from your sin, say, I want to live differently. I'm going to live for Jesus instead of living for myself. And you repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, open your heart to him. The Bible says you will be saved, not because of what you've done, because you're trusting in what he has already done for you, dying on the cross to pay for your sins. That is the good news that Paul preached to this lady, and everyone needs to hear that. And everyone has an opportunity. In fact, you have an opportunity today to choose what Lydia chose. She chose Jesus. It says the Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, so that's the next step in obedience, saying, look, I am a believer. I want the world to know it. She and her household were baptized. She urged us, look, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So the early church, the very first church here, started in her house. And it probably began with her family, like it says right here. Maybe a couple of the families gave their lives to Jesus. And they started this little house church. And so we kind of fast forward in the book of, or in the chapter, in this chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And Paul and Silas, so his buddy, they're missionary partners. They're still in Philippi doing ministry, and they find themselves in the marketplace. And there is this little girl is just so annoying, okay? Would not leave them alone. Y'all know people like that, okay? Some of y'all are those people up here in the front. So this little girl would not leave them alone, and she was actually demon-possessed. I'm not saying you guys are that way sometimes, but she was demon-possessed. And these merchants were using her to make money. And Paul got so fed up that he just cast this demon out. It goes bad for Paul and Silas. These merchants try to accuse him of messing up their livelihood. And so here's what happens next. They are severely flogged. And then they are thrown in jail. And they were ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. So this is what happens. They get thrown in jail. They're beat up, and there's this jailer that is watching over them. And then if you know this story, there is this turning point in this moment of Acts 16. It says this, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains came loose. I want you to imagine that you are right next to Paul and Silas. It's not just two dudes. It's Paul and Silas and you, okay? You're in chains. All of a sudden, the chains just burst off of your wrists and your ankles. The doors fly open with a clang. There's an earthquake that's going on, and you see the light to get out. What would you do? Guys, I can tell you, I'm out. Like, I mean, the Lord has done a miracle in my life today. I want to accept that. And so I am gone. I'm just running out. I'm dragging Paul and Silas with me. But that's not what happens. And the reason that didn't happen is because Paul and Silas knew that someone was watching. You know who's watching? This guy. A jailer was there. And here's how the story goes. It says, when the jailer woke up and he saw that the doors of the prison standing open, he knew his life was over. He was going to be killed instantly. Killed because he had messed up. So he didn't want to go through that shame. So he drew his sword and was going to kill himself since he thought the prisoners had escaped. I love this. But Paul called out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself, okay? Because we're all here. No one is left. And the jailer, he called for lights. They rushed in. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he escorted them out. And here's what he said. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, he got to that point because he saw the witness in their lives. Said, look, there's something different about you. Something kept you from your salvation, from saving yourselves. What has kept you here? And they were able to share the gospel with this jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And here's what they said. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. He put his faith in Jesus, and he was radically transformed. And the next verses talk about it. It says, right away, he and all his family were baptized, and he brought them into his house. He set a meal before them, and he rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. He was a changed man because of what God had done in his life. You see, God wasn't in this moment, in this miracle story, he wasn't just freeing prisoners. He was reaching a family. Y'all get that? You see how powerful that is? God wasn't just trying to free some prisoners. He was trying to reach a family. And I think about our situation, what we sit in right now. As a church, we're finally back in this place. It's amazing that the kids' stuff is going on. It's beautiful around here. But look, God hasn't done all of this. He hasn't provided for us just so we can sit in nice chairs, you know? And we have some nice chairs. We got some cool chairs in the back. I wish we had cup holders, right? I mean, why do we not get cup holders? It's too expensive. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. But we have all this nice stuff. But that's not the reason God has done his work. The reason God has done all of this is because he's the same as he was back in Acts 16. He is still trying to reach families. That is his setup. He's doing this amazing work in our church because he wants to reach families. Your family and families who aren't even here yet. In Philippians chapter 2, if we go back to Philippians, Paul says this. He says, it is God who is working in you. God is the one who is doing this work. He is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. He's got a great plan. He had a great plan for the church of Philippi, and he's got a great plan for us as well. Look, I want to be that. I want to be a church like the church in Philippi. I want to accept the things that God is blessing us with, but also partnering with him to see people come to faith in Christ. I want to be that kind of church. I hope you want to be that kind of church as well. It's a great opportunity for us to mimic how some of these early churches were living out their faith. Now, let's unpack verse 6 a little bit more. We got to go back. We said we're going to try to break it up, but here's what it says. It says, I'm sure of this. I'm going to stop here, and he is sure of something. Paul is sure of something. He says, he who started good work will carry it on to completion. He's saying, look, God is going to complete his work. This phrase, I'm sure, man, it's just, that's some serious confidence. He's not saying, well, I hope, or maybe this is going to happen. Look, if everything works out great and perfect, everything goes right, then this is going to happen. That's not what he's saying. Why is he so sure? The reason Paul is so sure, because he realizes it's not on him. He realizes he's so sure because it's not on the people. What he's talking about is God and what God can do. Paul realized something that you and I need to realize, that God, he starts all good things, and he also finishes what he starts, right? If you go back to the beginning in Genesis, we see the same thing. God has been the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. In Genesis, in fact, I'm going to show it to you. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that on the seventh day, God, he completed his work. And then he took a break, amen? Like, we should take breaks, okay? So he completed his work, and he rested. Now, I want you to think about this. What if God had not finished his work of creation? Look, the world would look a lot like my motorcycle, okay? Like, it would look weird, you know? Like, things halfway done. Praise God that he finished his work of creation. He finished what he started out to do. In fact, Jesus also says this in John 19:30, that it is finished. Thank goodness he didn't say, like, it's halfway done, okay? Or it's partially finished, or maybe I'm going to finish it. No, he says, it is finished. The work of salvation, his death on the cross to pay for your sins, it is finished. Which brings us to a great principle for today, that God starts, or what God starts, he finishes, doesn't he? But God starts, he finishes. And that includes what he's doing in your life. So if you are a believer in Jesus, if you're in Christ, the Bible says, God has started his work in your life through salvation. Not because of you, because of what he's done in your life. He does that. But he also is sustaining your life every single day, and he's going to complete your story, what he's trying to do in your life. God is going to do those things. And that's what we need to put our faith in. We don't need to put our faith in our own abilities. We don't need to put our faith in our own track record. That's going to go bad for us. We need to put our faith in God's track record. And we look at Scripture, and he always finishes the good things that he starts. We need to not put our faith in our ability to hold on to God. Some of us, man, we think, man, if I can just hang on to God enough, he's going to bless me. I'm just holding on to his ankle and he's dragging me around. That's not how it works. We need to put our faith in God's ability to hold on to us because we are prone to wander. We are prone to leave the God that we love. We are prone to turn our backs on him, yet he is always trying to hold on to us, and he is holding on to us. We need to put our faith in that. What a good God that we get to serve and live for. And I think somebody needs to hear this today that I get it. Some of y'all, your situation right now, whatever situation you find yourself in, you may feel completely stuck. The season you're in right now is not the season that you had planned. And you've been praying for that one thing, that one person, that thing to change. And it feels like God is not only silent, but he's deaf. Nothing's changing. Nothing's happening. And then you think, well, did I do something wrong? I kind of feel like I'm not good enough. I feel like I'm dropping the ball. But here's what God is saying to us today. God says, I haven't. I haven't dropped the ball. I am good enough. You aren't good enough. That's true. But I am. God is way different than us. And that's something to celebrate. And that is so true in our lives. We could go over and over again and talk about what God has done in our lives. How many of y'all know a one-upper? You know what a one-upper is? One of those people that can never let you have the best, you know, part of a conversation. They always got something else. You know, you start off and you say, well, man, I had a tough time growing up and school was really hard for me. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, well, I had to ride the bus. And you're like, well, and then you're like, I had to take care of my siblings. I had to make their lunch and I had to walk them to the bus stop and I had to get on the bus. And they're like, well, look, I had to go up. I had to walk through the snow. I didn't have a bus where there's no roads. It was just awful. And then you're like, well, look, I actually was homeschooled and I had to teach myself and I still got a 4.0. Like, how did it come to that? You're just talking about your childhood. We're always trying to one-up ourselves, right? I think you and I, if we passed around a microphone right now, we could spend the rest of today talking about one-upping ourselves of all the ways that God has shown up in our lives. The ways that God has provided when there seemed like there was nothing. The ways that God made a turnaround when it just seemed like there was no possible way. You were having a terrible day and God turned it around. And how he actually answered that prayer that you felt like he wasn't answering or he was silent on. And he did it in his own way and in his own will. And I'm just telling you, those two good things are better than your plans, okay? We gotta trust him in that. You see, God always finishes what he starts. When you feel like nothing's happening in your life, never forget that God is still working. He's still working in your personal life. And that applies also to the church. Last week, we talked about partnership with God and with each other. We have this partnership in the gospel, and it's beautiful, it's awesome, and it's amazing to be a part of a church that's unified, and we have this fellowship, and it's great. We experienced a lot of great things. We've experienced lives being changed. We've experienced people getting baptized. We've experienced ministry happening. We're making an impact, not just here in this place, but also around the world. God is up to something, but let me just say this. He's not done. God is not done with this church. In Acts chapter 16, you had Lydia, you had the jailer, you had those their families, and they had no idea what God was up to. They had no idea that they were gonna be a part of something really, really special. And yet 2,000 years later, we're still talking about them. That's pretty cool. You see, back then, God wanted to change families. He wanted to impact people's lives, and God still wants to do the same thing. Here's a beautiful thing. He chooses to do it through his church. I don't know why. He could probably be a lot faster. But he chooses to use us, and that is a blessing that God uses imperfect people. You see, God, he doesn't bypass people when he's trying to get something done. He actually uses people to change other people's lives. And so here is my fear. My fear is that you and I are going to miss an important moment in the life of this church and in your life as well. If we're not obedient to what God is calling us to do. In fact, say it this way. Look, don't miss your Acts 16 moment. they had this really cool moment, Lydia and the jailer and their families, this moment of being faithful to God, and they were growing this little church, and they were doing what God had called them to do. And you and I have the same experience. We can't have the exact same experience when we trust in God and step up when God is calling us to step up. You see, Paul, he wrote Philippians way later after Acts 16, so it didn't happen immediately. And he was looking back at that church and saying, man, I'm so thankful for you. I thank God for you. And what God started in you, man, he is not done yet. He's still doing an amazing thing. Look, will we be a church like that? Will we be a church that's talked about for years to come? A church that stepped up, a church that together, unified, in a unified way, we gave and we sacrificed generously, and we freed ourselves to be able to be, I call it being flexible for the Lord. Where God calls us to do something, we can actually do it. And we can be his hands and feet in a rapid fashion because nothing else is holding us back. And as a church, one of the things we're trying to do in this season is to finish this so that God can actually use this place, this facility, use us and our talents and our giftings to be able to disciple the people here and to be able to witness and share the gospel with people out there. But we gotta make sure that we are a church that is ready for that. We have, and that's what we're doing, Faith to Finish, to provide for that, to get rid of the debt that we have, the debt that we borrowed money to be able to, some money, not very much. We borrowed some money to be able to pay for all of this. But now we have an opportunity to get out from underneath that. And I believe God is calling our church to pray together and to get prepared for what he's going to do and to free ourselves so we can actually be a church. We call ourselves a church where Jesus changes everything, you know? We want to be a church like that. And so the question, when we think about this, is not, as a church, the question is not, will God finish his work? Look, that answer's already settled, right? That answer's yes. Like, God is going to finish his work. Here's the real question. The real question is, will this be our moment or our missed opportunity? This isn't a burden. This is an opportunity as a church and as individuals and as families to be a part of something special. Because God is up to something really cool here at this church. When I was in middle school, I don't know why, I think they just ran out of people, but I had the opportunity to run a relay race. And my coach says, Clayton, I want you to run the 4x100. And I said, do you know who I am? Like, it's not going to go good for you. And so he said, I want you to be the second person on this relay race. And so we had this baton, and the first guy starts, and he's running around the beginning of the track. And guys, middle school, I mean, everybody in middle school is nervous. You're trying to figure out who you are. And oh man, it's just brutal. And I was so scared that I was going to just screw this up. And the guy's getting closer and closer. And so I take off running before he gets there. And I reach back and he hands me the baton. And I just barely grabbed onto it. And I'm just running as fast as I can. I'm just holding on for dear life with these two fingers. And everybody's just passing me. it's bad. But I made it to the next guy and I handed the baton off. And I was like, I am done. I never did that again, by the way. So got to do that once. Kind of crazy. But you guys have seen relay races. You've been a part of those. And the first person starts and it gets the baton, hands it a second, hands it a third. I want you to imagine they get around and hands off to the fourth person, the last leg. And they're coming around the straightaway. And they're winning. And you're celebrating. It's amazing. And they just kind of let up. And they look around. They stop. And they just drop the baton and they walk off. Like, if you're on that team, I'm ticked off, man. Like, you know how hard I worked? Like, nothing. But you know how hard I worked to try to win the race? And we were winning the race. And then you just gave up at the last moment. Look, we got to think about this. As a church, we didn't start this race. Okay, this church has been here since 1963, really cool church. We have our ups and downs, but God has been so good to us, and there's been thousands of people whose lives have been changed. In fact, your life has been changed because God has brought you to this place. We are not perfect. We are messed up people. We serve a perfect God, and we're trying to be faithful and humble before him and be his hands and feet to worship him, to serve, do what he's called us to do. There have been people that have come before us. They prayed, they sacrificed, they served, they built. And look, they have handed us the baton, right? They've handed it to us. It's in our hands. And here's the big question that I have in this season, this moment as a church. What will we hand the next generation? They've handed us a baton. What are we going to hand the next generation? I think we have an opportunity. We can hand them a church that stalled out. We could hand them a step unfinished, a moment that we didn't take advantage of. I don't want to hand the next generation a church like that. Or will we be a church that hands them a unified, believing people that says, you know what, we're going to trust God to finish what he started. And we believe he's going to do it through us. Another way to ask this, to ask ourselves is, will we have the faith to finish? That's what we're calling it, faith to finish. We're having faith that God is going to finish what he starts. But we also see from scripture that he uses his people to do that. You see, faith isn't just what you believe. It's how you move because of what you believe. Think about that. It's not just what you believe, but it's how you act and respond to what you believe. Last week, we talked about praying. We asked you to pray, and I want to ask you to continue to pray for what God is doing in your family and in this church and for the future of our church. And this week, here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you to prepare to respond to God's leading in your life, in your family, as an individual, and in this church, to say, you know what, I'm going to pick up this baton and be faithful to what you're calling me to do. Ask these questions. God, who do you want us to reach? God, there's so many people around us, in our neighborhoods and in the places that we live. You want them to come to faith in Christ. The Bible says that God wants everybody to be saved. God, who do you want to reach? How can I be a part of sacrificing myself so that can happen? And God, how will you use me to finish what you started? This week, talk to your family about it. Talk to God about it. Prepare your hearts for what God is calling you to do. This Acts 16 moment that we each get to be a part of. And then commit as a church together to carry the baton. It's worth it, guys, for the next generation and for those who aren't here yet. Well, next week, I invite you to come back. We're gonna talk about war. It's gonna be awesome, okay? We're gonna prepare ourselves for actually moving forward with strategy, with faithfulness, and with boldness. I want to invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing here at this church. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying. And thank you for preparing for what God is calling us each to do. Let's pray. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for Jesus who died on the cross to pay for our sins. I pray for anyone in this room who's never put their faith in Jesus, anyone listening right now. They've been trying to do it on their own. They're lost. They're lost without you. You're a good God who's faithful to finish what he starts. And God, if you're planting a seed in someone's life, they're hearing the gospel, the good news that it's not based off what they've done, but it's based off what Jesus did on the cross, who died and rose again. I pray, God, you would finish what you're starting. That they would repent of their sins and turn to you and believe, simple as that. They believe in what Jesus has done, the gift that he's offering of salvation forever. Their sins washed away. How glorious would that be? Today was the day of their salvation. Lord, thank you as a church that we have a chance to be a part of your work. The baton is handed to us. What will we do with it? God, we want to partner with you. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to be faithful. And God, we know that faith isn't just what we believe. It's how we move because of what we believe. So God, move in us. Prepare us for what's next. And we trust that you're going to be faithful and you're going to finish what you start. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name.